Yeah, please open with me and we'll look in the scriptures together. 2 weeks ago, we compared choices, the choices made by Abraham and his nephew Lot. And today, we are going to speak about calling in the life of Jacob and his response to calling from the Lord. So, all these chapters are so rich, so beautiful, so many good lessons for us, always. And sometimes it's so hard to pick one subject from here, but I want to speak about calling. It's so important for us. And why? One of the reasons why, because sometimes people of God, they're getting weary and tired. Tired in the ministry, tired in their spiritual life with the Lord, in family. And I believe one of the reasons, because we are people and sometimes we are losing the whole vision, whole picture. And when you don't see whole picture and you see only small part of your work, of your job, sometimes it's very hard to be precise. It's so hard to get tired because you don't see picture. And I believe that the calling from the Lord, this is the picture for us. Because the Lord calls us to something greater. He is great artist. He is making great picture. And every one of us, we are parts of His great picture around the world. So this is why I believe it's so important to build upon your calling in your life. Do not forget it. Never forget your calling. To be precise. So two subjects. Recognizing our calling and responding to it. And it's so important. So first of all, I would just like to start with definition. And calling has a lot of definitions. I want to pick only one. And I want to start from Exodus chapter 3. From a story with Moses. Exodus chapter 3 from the verse 3. So what's happening here? The Jewish man, 80 years young. You don't get it. Okay, it's Russian. 80 years old. He's in the wilderness with his sheep. He's doing his job. And he's Jew. So he looks around and he saw bush, burning bush. And it's keep burning. And he's Jew, what to do? So his curiosity brought him to great calling in his life. He was so curious, what's happening there? And I would like to show you here, nothing spiritual. Bush, fire, and Jewish curiosity. So sometimes be careful with curiosity. Think twice. So Moses thought, I will go now and see this great sign, burning bush. Why is the bush not burnt? Good question. Then Adonai saw that he turned to look. It's an amazing story. Can you imagine this picture? It's even funny story. It's a humorous story. How Lord uses everything to call us to ministry. He called to him out of the midst of the bush and said, Moses, Moses. Can you imagine? So Moses looked at the bush. He was curious. He went to see. And now he heard the voice, Moses. So, something happened here. Oh, Moses, Moses. How many times in his life probably he was thinking later, like, okay, what did I do now? Why am I so curious? So the Lord said to him, Moses, Moses, he answered, Hineni, here I am. So in the Hebrew, he called, in the Hebrew, is the word kara. It means to call out, recite, read, cry out, proclaim. So this is the meaning of calling. the Lord speaking to the person. He is calling him. He is proclaiming something in his life. He is crying out his will. And it's so beautiful because for Moses it was complete surprise. But it was interesting surprise for all of us. We are so grateful for this moment. Yes. This was a special call to Moses. He was called by the Lord to special mission. He heard the call of God in his life, voice of the Lord. And this is the powerful idea, it's for me, because I think it's a great idea here. When the Lord is calling somebody, when he's directing somebody to his perfect will, that call is also an act of creation. Because it's a power in the words of the Lord. He is creator. So the power of creation, his words. And all provision, all resources, all that is necessary to accomplish his calling in this call already. So Moses, he was not ready to hear this voice. He was tired. He was 8 years old. He already tried to ministry. Do you remember this story? Do you read this story? Yeah. 40 years old, he tried to accomplish his goals. It's impossible with your power. Why? Because not by might, not by power, but by my Ruach, says Adonai Tzevaot. And here is it, 8 years young man, hearing the voice of Adonai, empty in the wilderness, not ready. And the Lord is doing his act of creation. He's creating, calling inside of Moses. He is giving vision to him. He is giving picture to him. He is calling him to work of the ministry. Great idea. Great picture. So what do we mean when we talk about our calling? Usually we are referring a sense a person has or a group of people has that God wants a special job done for him and that he is encouraging a commitment to the task from the person or group. So the Lord is given calling and he required our commitment to this calling. Our yes. Let's say together yes. He don't wait for us no. He's waiting for us yes. From us yes. In the Romans chapter 1, the verse 1, and I enjoy this place because this is a starting point for all book of Romans. And this is actually gospel because Romans so rich on the good news. Rabbi Shaul starts his message with a simple statement. Paul, a slave of Messiah Yeshua, slave. He submit himself to Yeshua completely, all his will. His body, his soul, his spirit, everything belongs to the Lord. He is in the Lord's hands. Paul, a slave of Messiah Yeshua, called to be an emissary and set apart for the good news of God. So, Apostle Paul, Rabbi Shaul, was called. First of all, he was called to faith in Yeshua Messiah. He was called to be a believer. And the second, he was called for a specific work of ministry, very specific, important role, to be apostle for all nations over this world. He was so influential. But what would I like to show you here? When he was called, he was completely unready. He was enemy of Yeshua. He was going on his way to fight with believers, to kill them. And now, in his way, the Lord called him. And it was the act of creation here. The Lord created a new spirit inside of him. He turned his life upside down, or from down to a good place here. So this is very important to remember. he received everything after Tshuva. He received assignment from God. He received all that necessary, wisdom and anointing and everything to achieve Lord's goal. And it was a miracle. This why all the glory belongs to the Lord. Amen. Let's say together, all glory belongs to the Lord. Yeah, I know that some people pray, and Lord, I would like to be like Paul, like David. Yeah, I see some hands shaking like this. It was not likely that you will ever be called to be shipwrecked or to be stoned and left for dead as happened for Rabbi Shaul. It's not likely. Still, every one of us, like Paul, becomes a believer by responding to a call of God. By responding to His call to place our faith in Him, we are called to be believers, to believe in the Lord. And every believer, every one of us, doesn't matter who we are here, but every one of us is called to steps of faith which become our personal ministry to the Lord. Every one of us. The Lord calls us to faith, and He calls us to the work of ministry in our level, every one of us. So let's look at the calling of Jacob, and let's look at the few interesting things here. But before, I want to make one statement, very important statement, for me important. You may know that Jacob sometimes gets a bad reputation from people who believe he stole his birthright blessings from his brother. And you know who is guilty? Jacob. Who is guilty? Jews. It's always. I believe, it's my personal faith, my personal belief, that was not the case here. Because the Lord gave it to him even before he was born. It was his calling. It was his birthright. It was his prophetic calling from God. And Romans chapter 9 from the verse 10, I want to read it here. And not only this, but also Rebekah having twins from the act with our father Isaac. Yet before the sons were even born and had not done anything good or bad, so that God's purpose and choice might stand not because of works, so that is not because of anything either twin might do. They were not born yet. Maybe they did something inside of womb, but I'm not sure. It doesn't say here. But because of him who calls, it was said to her, to Rebekah, the older shall serve the younger. The older shall serve the younger. It was calling from the Lord even before they were born. So Rebekah, she embraced the word from the Lord that Jacob was the one chosen for his generation to extend the line of the chosen people. He was called from the beginning. Rebekah heard the voice of God and submitted herself to his will. And she conveyed this word from the Lord to Jacob, to Yaakov, and helped him to enter his calling. So he does not steal anything. It was his from the Lord. So let's stop here and think one more time. Today we are worshiping a God who is the Lord of Abraham, Isaac, not Esau. Jacob, because the Lord, he proclaimed it, he decided, it was his choice. Why was the birthright so important in the days of Jacob? For it's very simple but great idea. There were no priests from the tribe of Levi yet. It was before time of Levi, much before. And therefore, the firstborn in the family became the priest of that family. Firstborn family became a priest of that family. Therefore, the birthright was extremely important. It meant calling. It meant priesthood in the family. You remember that Abraham had to drive Hagar and Ishmael out of his home. It was a difficult decision for him because he loved Ishmael. But why? Why the reason? Why he did it? Because it was necessary to be sure that the birthright would be given to the one who was to be the priest of the family. Isaac. Not Ishmael, Isaac. Why did Jacob so passionately desire the birthright? Because he understood the calling from the Lord for his life, so that he was to be the priest in the family. It was obvious for Jacob, for Jacob. This is why he really patiently wanted to have this calling in his life. It was his promise from the Lord. So let's read Genesis chapter 25, and let's go to the Torah portion, actually. And the best improvement is to read the scriptures, yes? So we will see why not Esau, but Jacob. It's very obvious here. Chapter 25 from the verse 29. And start, it's very good. It's Jewish way to do. Now Jacob cooked a stew. So if you like to cook, it's good. When Esau came from the field, he was exhausted. So Esau said to Jacob, "Please, feed me some of this really red stuff." Cool. "And because I'm exhausted." That is why he is called Edom, red. So he wanna eat red, so you will be red forever. So this idea, he even don't know what is it. "Give me this really red stuff I want to eat. I want my stomach, I mean, I'm exhausted. Give me this food." I don't think it was some important white thing or red thing, but, you know, something to eat. So Jacob said, "Sell your birthright to me today." Esau said, "Look, I'm about to die. Of whatever use is this to me, a birthright?" Can you imagine? I mean, it was a test from the Lord for him. Birthright and this really red stuff. What is it, birthright? I don't see it. I can't eat it. And really red stuff is here and smells great. Can you imagine how difficult temptation is? Jacob said, "Make a pledge to me now." So he made a pledge to him and sold his birthright to Jacob. Then Jacob gave Esau bread and lentil stew, this really red stuff. And he ate and drank, then got up and left. So Esau despised his birthright. Let's say despised. It is a clear picture of two different kinds of people, two different ways of life, two different attitudes, Esau and Jacob. So let's look at Esau's attitude. First of all, it is clear for us that Esau had no interest in the spiritual blessing at all, zero, nothing. He sold his birthright, his priesthood, for this small cup, bowl of soup. I don't want such kind of priest in my life. It's not for me. And it's not for Jewish people. So the Lord knows everything. He knows every heart. He was a good hunter, a breadwinner, the beloved son of his father. Yes, but he was not a high priest. He was not called. He doesn't have anything in his heart. But to sell his birthright for a bowl of soup of this red stuff tells us he did not value the birthright at all. He felt no need to be carrier of the blessing of Abraham or to be high priest in his generations. It was not in his radar. although he acquired all of Isaac's property as his inheritance, he lost the blessing of his father. So obviously he was not the recipient of the call of his parents. So, and let's look at Jacob's attitude. So Jacob chooses spiritual blessings and priesthood. What did Jacob lose? And what did he gain? First of all, he lost everything. As a result of his blessing, he lost his family, he lost his inheritance, he lost his property. So he went to the foreign land only with two things: blessings of father and faith in the Lord. It's all. He lost everything. But we know in the future, he gained calling from the Lord. He gained an election. He gained a priesthood. And later on, he gained everything else. And money and sheep and everything else. But later, on his journey after the Lord. So the point is that the value of he valued the Lord, his calling from the Lord, above everything else in his life. This is why he's Jacob. Why he was called Israel later. Israel. And we are Israel in the name of Israel. Because of Israel. And certainly, some people look at him like he was crazy, stupid guy. He traded everything for what? For blessing. What kind of blessing? But later on, the Lord blessed him with everything. He was the blessing, and he is the blessing for us. Amen. So, I want to look at some lessons for us today. Today, the Lord is looking for people who will put his interest above their own in their lives. And I want to mention you that, remind you that he's here in this place. And he's looking in our hearts right now in this moment by his Holy Spirit. And he knows everything. We couldn't hide from him anything. Our thoughts, our heart, our decisions. And most of all, he's looking for people who will say, "Yes, Lord." In their lives. Yes, Lord. And he is waiting for people who will say, "Yes, Lord. Yes, Lord." And who will say, "Yes, not Lord," not only when it's something good for them. Do you want this? "Yes, Lord." But for those who will say, "Yes, Lord," in every situation. Of course, for most of us, following the Lord does not mean losing everything, of course. Jacob's case is very special, and his calling was great. It's not our case. I don't think the Lord wants to take from us everything. But I know that every person called by the Lord must choose the will of God, and he will pay his price of following the Lord. So we have our price, we have our following with the Lord, and I believe every believer, every son of God, every daughter of God has to choose follow the Lord, and sometimes we need to decide to pay the price of following. And sometimes it's a pleasant price, something we don't want, and okay, Lord, take it away. I'm tired. Sometimes we don't want to give it. We say, "No, Lord, not only this, please. Okay. If you need, take it." As I look at the example of Jacob's life, I must thank each of you who have answered the call of the Lord and faithfully continue to serve him. Thank you so much. You are here because you are faithful to the Lord. Never stop living and breathing for the Lord. Work tirelessly to bring people to his kingdom and to build his precious congregation. This is the essence of sacrifice. We are sacrificing something that is dear and important to us. Our time, our interests, our plans, our lives. Surrendering those things on the altar of the Lord to pick up the things that are important to him, to minister to him. And Rabbi Shaul, in his letter, he gave us very interesting instruction in the Romans chapter 12 from the verse 1. And please open with me if you can. It's Romans chapter 12 from the verse 1. I urge you, therefore, brothers and sisters, by the mercies of God, to present your bodies as a living sacrifice, holy, acceptable to God, which is your spiritual service. Let's say together, holy, acceptable to God, and also living sacrifice. Do not be conformed to this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind, so that you may discern what is the will of God, what is good and acceptable and perfect. Will of God, good, acceptable and perfect. And it's good for us. It's acceptable and perfect. And we don't have much time on this earth, not much time to respond to God's call. We need to reserve a time and a place in our lives for the Lord and His plans. Life is so fast. I mean, can you imagine? Today, November 2018. Who remembers 2000? Who was born after? Don't remember. But time is so fast. I mean, I remember myself in Ukraine. Now I'm here. What's happening? And now I want to come to the second point of my message today. And really, I want to say to you, we need to live our life such a way that when we stand before the throne of Almighty God, we would not be ashamed. We would not be ashamed of our life. So it's our tension, it's our calling to live for Him. So, second part of my message, I would like to speak about our availabilities to God, our accessibilities to Him. Yes, accessibilities. This English language is sometimes hard. Sometimes I see you doing like that and I'm not sure you're understanding me. But it's okay. I want to talk about Jacob. He was not perfect man. He made mistakes. He was not perfect. Was he? No. And we are not perfect. Are we? I always like to ask, who is perfect? Come to me after the service. For two reasons. First, I will ask, how are you perfect? And if I be perfect, I will follow you. And if not, what a perfect man doing in this unperfect place? It's very hard to be perfect. But we are not perfect. We are covered by the blood of Yeshua. So Jacob made mistakes. And you know, many mistakes. He didn't always do the right thing. But he was always available to God. And this is why I so much like to look at the life of Jacob. He was always available to God. Unperfect, but available. So many perfect people are not available. But this guy, he was not perfect, but available. He said, yes, Lord. And this very simple statement, be available to the Lord. We are always very busy. And the truth, we will be always busy. This is our life. We are busy people. And always temptation to say, I'm busy. It's not time for me. In our youth, we tell ourselves, I am still too young. There will be time ahead, sometimes in the future. In our adulthood, it's always temptation to say, I am so busy now. Little bit later, Monday I will start. Monday is the best way to put it. And in the old age, I'm too old. It's already done. I couldn't do anything. But we need to make the place for the Lord in our young age, adulthood and old age, we need to make place for the Lord to come and to do His will in our life. Amen. So let the Lord find that narrow door, that opportunity when we can be useful to Him and to others in this perishing world. Be ready to recognize it and push through the moment it opens. It's so important. And I would like to repeat, we are not called to be Pauls. It would be hard to have all Pauls in this place. We would have many arguments and disagreements here. Can you imagine all prophetic people together? Ooh. Poor sinners. They would not come here. I mean, they would be afraid. I would be afraid to come in this place and tell you the truth. I remember we went to the one meeting, men's breakfast, and one of the men told them, every time when I come in here, I'm praying, Lord, please forgive me. And I try to remember everything I did so that the Lord will not bring condemnation or, you know, did not show my sins before others. I'm glad that we are not Pauls here. And we are not Jacobs here. We are different. But we are beautiful in our calling. We have special time from the Lord, special calling from the Lord, special place in His heart, in His body. And what makes us beautiful that we are saying yes to the Lord in our calling. And it's so important to say yes to the Lord in our place. To do these small things with all our hearts. To remember a great picture from the Lord, future for us. When you're faithful in something small, it means you're building His body here. And you strengthen the body of Messiah. And together, when we say yes to the Lord, we have power. We have power. So I want to mention a few practical steps that may help. And I know you already know that it's nothing new, but still I want to share with you. It's only 9. I'm sorry, but only 9 steps. Very simple. Keep the desire in your heart to be with God and to love Him. Simple. Let's say together, keep the desire. Sometimes we are busy to even think about the Lord, but we need to keep the desire to serve the Lord in our families, in our work, and everywhere. Very simple step. Begin each morning with prayer and to ask, Lord, please do something for me today. I'm here. Very simple. I don't want to teach you like pray 1 hour, 2 hours, 3 hours. At least pray this prayer. Lord, I want to be useful for you. This is day for you, please. And you know what? Sometimes you're useful and you don't know about it. In the end of the day. And it's great. It's not glory to you, it's to Him. Say honestly to God and yourself, I'm available. This is so good. And this is very scary for most of the people. We like to receive His anointing, but this is next step. Lord, I receive your anointing. Why? I'm available for you. Hineni, here I am. Very simple step. Set priorities. Very simple. Take your time for prayer and for word of the Lord. Be ready. Be ready. Do not say no when it's time. I remember my appointment with the heart doctor, heart specialist. I came to him and I was not ready. And he started to talk to me about messianic movement, about my roots. And you know, whole time, all appointment was about Ukraine and roots and Jewish people there. And I went out his appointment with no zero understanding of my sickness. Looks like I came out of some kind of home group or something, I don't know. Yeah, he's a good doctor. I don't think it was his mistake. Probably it was my mistake. But, I mean, don't hide the message from the Lord. Really, if you have possibility, opportunity to share, why not? It's the bread of life. He's the bread of life. Share this bread. You never know what's happened in the person's life. Never. And I found that sometimes we can look at the face of person and we don't know hearts. Could be tough here, but very wounded here. Maybe your words will be safety for him. And also, six, I like this. Do whatever you can. You know, sometimes we are underestimate the minor things because we are people. And sometimes we want to be superheroes, you know. If the Lord will give me opportunity, I will shake the earth. Praise the Lord, he doesn't give you this opportunity. Better not be shaken. But the idea, everything bigger starts with small things. And when you're faithful in small, it brings you to bigger things. Amen. And this way we can listen to the voice of the Lord and study how to obey him. One of the ways is to come to the service. For example, it's an example. And to greet new people for the first time here and to say love to them and hello to them and just pray for them. Simple way, but it's very good opportunity for the Lord to move. Trust God and be faithful in small things. Amen. So I would like to pray for all of us. And before I will pray, I want to ask if anybody's here for first time and you never, ever say yes to the Lord in your life. You don't know him, but you're here. If the Lord brought you here and you need his love, his salvation, his presence, this time is for you. You're most welcome person in this place. Yeshua died for you. He shed his blood for you, for your salvation, for your life, for your eternity. I want to pray the prayers of sinner, and if you want to get right with the Lord, please pray with me. Say these words to the Lord. Let's pray. Our Heavenly Father, thank you for opportunity to be in this place. Thank you for possibility. Thank you for your mercy, Lord. Thank you for your presence in this place, Lord. And Lord, please, I ask, forgive me. Forgive my sins, Lord. B'shem Yeshua HaMashiach, I'm coming to you as a sinner, and I thank you for your redemption, for Yeshua, for salvation. Thank you, Lord, for your goodwill, for your mercies, Lord. Thank you for calling on my life. Thank you for your future. Thank you for everything we need. Thank you so much for creation in our hearts. We love you, Lord. B'shem Yeshua HaMashiach. Amen. Amen. So let's end our service with the Aaronic benediction, our prayer.
I pray that God hears this prayer for all of you. I pray it with all of my strength. May the Lord bless you and keep you. May the Lord make his face to shine upon you and be gracious unto you. May the Lord lift up his countenance upon you and grant each and every one of you his peace. Yivarechecha Adonai v'yishmarecha. Ya'er Adonai panav alecha v'yachunecha. Yisa Adonai, Adonai, panav ilecha. V'esem lecha shalom. May God bless. bless you.